You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Some people out there saying Johnny Manziel should be traded right now for a seventh round pick. I certainly don't agree with that. I don't think any of you
I do not either.
Nobody in the Dog Bowl certainly agrees with that. And part of it comes from Johnny Manziel currently in rehab. People not sure if they can trust him. Well, somebody who knows quite a bit about the subject is Bruce Feldman, senior college football reporter for Fox Sports, Fox Sports One, and the New York Times bestselling author. Just wrote a book, The Quarterback, The Making of Modern Quarterbacks, which features Johnny Manziel and his workouts leading up to being drafted, and also wrote a great article right now at foxsports.com. Johnny Manziel's greatest strength, also his greatest weakness, and he joins us on the Ohio Business Machines hotline. Bruce, thanks for taking time to be with us, and let's just get right into Johnny Manziel. What do you mean by that headline, his greatest strength is also his greatest weakness?
Well, guys, you know, a lot of this really comes, or at least that part came from something I heard from an NFL scout leading up to the draft last year, and he said Johnny Manziel's greatest strength is that he truly believes that he is unstoppable and he can find his way out of anything. He said, but his greatest weakness is that he truly believes he's unstoppable and he can find his way out of anything. And there is this kind of reckless quality about him that scares you. And for all the talk about, you know, remember last year, all the Merrill Hodge comments about how Johnny Manziel doesn't know what he's doing in the pocket and all this stuff. The thing that I found from talking to a lot of NFL personnel people was, what scared them the more they looked into Johnny Manziel was kind of the reckless off-the-field stuff and how professional would he be moving on to the NFL. And for the people who tried to make the comparison to Russell Wilson basically just based on, you know, limited height and their mobility, Russell Wilson, keep in mind, it was always first guy in, last guy out. That had never been Johnny Manziel, and so there were some big adjustments to be made, and clearly, as you guys well know, he really struggled this year with them, and this is really the first time being Johnny Manziel for him hasn't worked out, and I think he struggled with kind of what his plan B is at that point.
Bruce, isn't that a scary thought for an organization like the Cleveland Browns who've been wrong so many times at the quarterback position, thinking they got their fix, but now they have a loose cannon who needs to fix himself personally and is not yet developed into an NFL-type quarterback?
Oh, it's definitely got to be, you know, a scary thought. I mean, you know, who is he surrounded by? What kind of influences is he getting? You know, I always thought for him, you know, because he was so frenetic in the way he kind of made things happen, it depended on what kind of influences were going to be around him. Because for Johnny, he'd always been able to just kind of make it work. Well, he goes to Cleveland, and I think there was like a little flashes of positive good things, but there was so much where, you know, from, again, talking to a lot of people leading up to the draft last year for this, it was like, okay, well, like Vince Young was a great college player too. What happens when the NFL takes away the thing you're greatest at? And then what do? You have to have a backup plan. You have to be a problem solver. To Johnny's credit, look, I've been around him a lot for the last couple of years. Johnny is very bright. He's very engaging. And he does have, you know, terrific ability. I mean, he's an accurate passer and a lot of the things that I think people don't give him credit for. Unfortunately for him, you know, in terms of the commitment and the preparation, all those things, Johnny was always of the mindset, you know, this is the way it's got to be for me. And kind of, I think he'd always conditioned himself and was almost like in spite of it or because of it, however he looked at it, of just like kind of winging it, worked for him. This is the first time it's not worked for him. And, if you know, we're going to see how he responds. In the piece you guys referenced that I did this week, I talked to Chris Herron, who, you know, he's been sober for 7 years, had an interesting perspective because he was this former great athlete who, like Johnny Manziel, kind of felt like he was thriving on this reckless kind of me against the world on edge personality. You know, Chris told me he went into rehab when he was 21 and then he went back in a long time later and it finally took. He did not have the maturity or did not have the perspective, I think, for it to take at that point. I hope for Johnny Manziel's sake that he's able to get things sorted out. You know, I mean, it's a really tough time for him. And And from what I heard from, you know, talking to a lot of people who were tight with Johnny Manziel early in the week, it was just, you know what, he's going to have to make some big changes. But not only that, some of the people he's been around a lot are going to have to make big changes, or he's going to have to be strong enough to cut those people loose.
We hear a lot about Johnny Manziel as a competitor, and we're talking with Bruce Feldman right now from Fox Sports, Fox Sports 1. And in your research coming across him, because I wonder, sometimes there are people that are competitors who, when times get tough, they just stop giving effort so they can say, oh, well, I didn't give it all the effort that I had. And there are others who will adapt and do whatever they have to be successful. Where do you fall on Johnny Manziel as a competitor? And do you think the setback of his disappointing rookie season is going to propel him and compel him to do the things on and off the field he has to do to be successful now that he knows he can't just wing it in the NFL, as you say?
You know, I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to that, because it had always worked for him some way. He's been pushed into a level he has never been at right now. And not, I'm not talking about the NFL, but just in terms of like, okay, now what? You know, because he's always found a way, you know, whether he's, you know, it's him playing a game hungover or whatever, he's always found a way to rally from these deep holes and seemingly dire on the field predicaments and made it work. You know, people have doubted him, you know, pretty much his whole career, from the time he was getting recruited, and a lot of big schools didn't want to mess with him because he was too, you know, they just didn't look at his size and think he was ideal, or the way he played, they weren't sure how well it would translate, and he found a way to make it translate. But, you know, now we're talking about, you know, Johnny had cultivated this Johnny football persona and this celebrity aspect of it, and he became a star. I mean, he delivered on the football field, but he was bigger than that because of, you know, all this, you know, just kind of stuff that he had about him, whether it was the way he played tied into the fact the way he lived off the field. And that was part of the persona. Now it sounds like he's going to have to unplug that Johnny football persona if he really serious about being a big time NFL player and not just some celebrity, because, you know, he's going to have to show when he gets back into Cleveland, into that organization, that he's serious about work. Not that he wants to be somebody's buddy and they're going to think he's cool, but that he's going to have to bust his butt. I mean, the stuff that he said late in the year that he was going to do, everybody knows he should have been doing that a long time ago. Now, was that lip service, or is he dead serious about it? Because, you know, he's got a lot of work to do, not just personally, but professionally.
You're definitely right, Bruce. And some of the local analysts and writers have actually weighed in recently about potentially trading Johnny Manziel and getting rid of him and letting him, you know, moving past and getting rid of that contract and going in a different direction at quarterback. What if, in fact, Cleveland did want to trade Johnny Manziel? What do you think Cleveland could garner for a guy like Johnny Manziel, who ultimately has lost a significant amount of value and is in the lowest point of his career right now?
I'm not sure what you could get now, because look, there were a bunch of teams that passed on him in the first place, last May when the draft came up. Now, would they have taken him in the third round? Yeah, probably. But now you look and say, okay, well, where's Johnny's confidence at? That was one of the things that made him his greatest strength. You've got to think his confidence has really taken a heavy, you know, a heavy body blow now. And also, you know, where is his mindset in terms of, is this a guy, how hungry is he to be a really good football player? I'm not talking about being great or anything. We're just talking about being a professional guy and what kind of influence is he going to be in your quarterback room. I mean, I think those are things now that have become, they were definitely on the table now, but now they're first and foremost. So I think he's got to show that he is ready to grow up. And I think when grows, you know, it's unfortunate, but this is a reality. I mean, whether you're talking about the allure of, you know, Joe Namath way back when, or Kenny Stabler or Brett Favre, or some of these guys who were kind of, you know, these legendary, you know, party guys or whatever. And I would go back to, you know, I guess Kenny Stabler is probably a better example. It worked. And I don't know if it was a different NFL. It was a different time in the media. There were no camera phones. There was, you know, no social media like this or whatever. But at the same time, you know, what worked for one guy, maybe it's not going to work for Johnny Manziel to be that way. I mean,
yeah.
Ultimately, I think, you know, this comes down to, you're going to be able to judge him on what he does on the field. And that's going to, you know, that's going to be the crossover to Johnny Manziel? How's his personal life? How's all this stuff sorting out? I mean, you know, well, we talked to Kevin Sumlin a couple of days ago. I had him on our show on FoxSports.com, and you know, he said, "Look, we're in uncharted waters with Johnny because of some of the things that he was dealing with, going through. Now, some of it he brought on himself, some of the stuff he didn't." And he, you know, they all said, "You know what? We could have probably handled it better in retrospect, but that's past now. Now it's like, what does he do? What do the people close to him do when he's in this situation? I mean, I don't know what you get for trading him. I can't imagine it's a ton of value, but I think at this point, you know, it's the ball is really in Johnny's court to see how serious he is about his future."
Talking with Bruce Feldman, New York Times bestselling author and senior college football reporter for Fox Sports and Fox Sports One, who wrote the book The Quarterback, The Making of Modern Quarterbacks, which features Johnny Manziel. You're talking about Johnny right now, and Browns fans are certainly wondering about rumored new quarterbacks coach Kevin O'Connell. That's many say a done deal, just working out some of the logistics of when he can actually start here with the Cleveland Browns. I know you spent some time with him in writing this book, obviously, when he was down there working with George Whitfield. What are your impressions of O'Connell? What's his relationship like with Johnny Manziel, and could that be a benefit to have him here for Manziel and the Browns?
Yeah, you know what, I'll tell you this. I mean, I dealt with all kinds of, like, quarterback, quote-unquote, gurus and people, whether they're in the NFL as coaches or players or whatnot. Kevin O'Connell might have been the most impressive guy I dealt with in the whole process for those 2 years. I remembered him a little bit as, you know, as a San Diego State quarterback and as a backup in the NFL. He is way more mature beyond his years. He is a very, very bright guy. I mean, you know, like a son of an FBI, former FBI agent, he is on top of everything. I mean, he's very well wired into the NFL because he worked with a bunch of different people and played with a bunch of different people. I know he had the chance to be a college quarterback coach at a pretty good level, you know, in the past and turned it down. I figured Kevin was either going to be a star as a football analyst on TV, or he was going to go into coaching and be a star there. I think this would be a good thing for Johnny, but I don't think, you know, John, like I said before, Johnny needs to worry about Johnny. I think if it in fact goes through, I think it'll be a really good thing for the Browns. Just because the guy is really smart, he knows Mike Pettine really well. I think the parts that I was impressed with, I'm sitting in his quarterback rooms. It's Manziel. You know, Mike Evans, the receiver, was in there, who's now with the Bucks, and Logan Thomas from Virginia Tech. And then later on, they had a bunch of top college quarterbacks, Connor Cook, who's, as you guys know, is an Ohio kid, who's now at Michigan State, and Bryce Petty, and I just thought Kevin was a great communicator in terms of the way he would present things to people. I mean, for me, and if you want to, and this is going to sound like shilling for the QB book, but if you want to get a sense of all the stuff like John Gruden's, like, QB room, that show that he has on ESPN, there's an element of Kevin O'Connell teaching from first day. He gets these guys, so you get the process of how much they absorb, learning, quote unquote, you know, protections and football and stuff. He breaks it down in a very digestible way, and I thought it was fascinating to see. I mean, he was a guy I didn't know much about in this, you know, until I got working on it. And you know, like I said, I expect him to be a star. You know, if he goes the coaching route, I think he's going to do really, really well. And I think, you know, the people around him are going to be impressed. I think, you know, ultimately, I think Johnny Manziel respected Kevin O'Connell, not just as a coach, but the presence he had. And I doubt Johnny knew who Kevin was before that. I mean, Kevin's a big guy, he's like 6'6" or whatever, but I still think, you know, in the end, I saw how he was like a big brother to Logan Thomas in the process. He helped him, you know, get drafted a lot higher than a lot of people thought Logan would get drafted. Sure. And, you know, look, he got, say whatever you want, he got people believing that Johnny Manziel, you know, could be, you know, a solid, settled down NFL quarterback. At least the Browns bought into it. So I think, if he gets there, I think that's going to be a really good move for Cleveland.
Bruce, very much appreciate the time. Check out his article at FoxSports.com. Johnny Manziel's greatest strength, also his greatest weakness, and get his book, The Quarterback, The Making of Modern Quarterbacks, I think for Browns fans especially. All the features on Johnny Manziel in there and his workouts leading up to being drafted certainly will be worth the time. Bruce, great stories, really appreciate it, and happy to hear your very optimistic outlook on Kevin O'Connell, rumored to be the Browns' next quarterbacks coach, so that's good there. Before we let you go, we're having having a debate on the show today. Best quarterback of all time, Tom Brady or Joe Montana?
I'm not as old. I want to say Tom Brady at this point, just because
right answer.
I don't see Jerry Rice on his team. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I thought
when he had Randy Moss, he lost.
Okay,
for the
yeah.
Joe Montana.
I mean, Jerry's the best ever. You know, yeah. I mean, Tom Brady. Look who he's winning with now. And Gronk's terrific, but those other receivers are solid, but they're kind of just guys, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. All right, Bruce, I was hoping for Joe Montana from you, but we'll take it. We'll take it.
Appreciate the time.
And really great stuff on Johnny, and the book sounds like a must-read again. It's called The Quarterback, The Making of Modern Quarterbacks by Bruce Feldman, senior college football reporter for Fox Sports and Fox Sports 1. Thanks for the time, Bruce.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. When we come back, certainly thought that was interesting stuff. Nice to hear some positivity about Kevin O'Connell, some interesting anecdotes about Johnny Manziel as well. We'll continue talking Joe Montana and Tom Brady. Andrew Gribble set to join us around 2 o'clock Eastern. So lots to go with here as well on ESPN 850 on not a Browns Free Friday at this point. We'll be back for more CBD right after this. Zagora Kid Wilhelm.